Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. I'm joined today by Father James McCann, who is the rector of the Pontifical Oriental Institute in Rome. Welcome, Father James.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Tim.
Well, maybe you can begin by just introducing the Pontifical Oriental Institute. Sounds like you do some really important work, but maybe it's not as well known here in the United States.
Right. The Institute, it's a graduate school, so at master's and doctoral level. It's nearly 100 years old and was founded in 1917 by Pope Benedict XV in the middle of World War I as a place of peace and reconciliation, but one where there's the study of Eastern Christianity in all its aspects. So all the different rites that you've heard of other than the Latin, right, Byzantine, Maronite, Melkite, and Ethiopian, and so many others, Coptic. These, we study those traditions of the church. It's a very interesting world that we work in. These are ancient traditions, so many different languages. The clergy in most of the churches we deal with are married, so that's a very interesting aspect of the life of our institute. And from the very beginning, this institute was open to the Orthodox churches, and this has been a very important contribution that we've made. We only have about 380 students at the institute, but about 50 of those students are Orthodox from a different number of different countries, including Russia, which is very significant. So I think we do very good ecumenical work in that way. And one of our most famous, our most famous graduate is the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, His Holiness Bartholomew. If you notice, he came to the installation of Pope Francis, and this is quite fascinating. It's the first time that a Patriarch of Constantinople isn't there in a very long time. But one of the TV networks said it's the first time a Patriarch of Constantinople has come to Rome for such a thing since 1954. And they said, no, that's a typo, since 1054. so this is a huge breakthrough, and we're very happy with this connection that we have to the Orthodox churches. But we have wonderful range of students at the Institute. Small as we are, we have 50 countries represented, and the students are from some of these Eastern rites, most of them, but also from the Latin rite. As I mentioned, a number of Orthodox. About 80 of our students are lay, so others are religious and priests and seminarians, but a significant number of lay people. About 40 of our students are women, which is a very important development in this world of the Eastern churches, and they're going back now to their countries and assuming leadership positions. So I think we play a very interesting role. It's certainly a unique institution. There's nothing like it in the world. The specialties that we have would be the study of the patristic era, the early Christianity, theology, the history of the church, spirituality, liturgy, and also canon law. There's a separate canon law, that's the law of the church. There's a separate canon law for the Oriental churches, and that was elaborated at our canon law faculty, and we played a significant role in that, and we offer master's and doctoral degrees in those in that area as well of canon law. And we're located in Rome. We're in the center of the city near the train station next to the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore.
Now you talk about the Eastern churches, the Oriental churches. Maybe you can just give a brief introduction. Some of our listeners may not be aware of the diversity there.
Yes, it's a great richness of the church, and a lot of this goes back to when Rome, the capital in the old empire, after the fall of Rome was moved to Byzantium or to Constantinople, and the liturgy that evolved there was often connected with the Greek language. So you'll hear sometimes a reference to Greek Catholics, and that means people who would celebrate the liturgy of the East. They're connected to Rome. Some of their traditions go back even before the founding of Constantinople. These are some of the oldest Christian groups in the world. So the Armenians, the Georgians, date back to as early as the fourth century. So these are wonderfully ancient traditions, and they spread all over Europe and in Asia. And there's a very significant group of two Eastern Rite groups in India. So we have a number of students from them, but they follow in the Syrian tradition. It's all very complicated, but it's called the Syro-Malabar Christians and the Syro-Malankara Christians in India. So we have a number of students from there as well, and it's a wonderful diversity that that we have at our place. And you can imagine how rich the liturgical life is as well.
Yeah, maybe you can speak about that. Do you get people from all over Rome coming to some of your liturgy?
Well, sometimes that isn't our main emphasis, yeah. But when we do have liturgy, a big crowd will arrive. It's rather exotic. It tends to be rather long. there's a great emphasis on singing and choral, and that's a part of our study as well, the study of the liturgy, the liturgical languages of the East. Very beautiful, and there's a great emphasis on mystery, so... the main part of the Eucharist, the main prayer, is done behind a screen. It's called the iconostasis, which is covered with icons, images of Our Lord, Our Lady, all the saints, and the emphasis is on mystery, and this is a very significant part of our liturgy. And some of the churches still follow the Julian calendar. Instead of the Gregorian calendar is the one that most of the world follows today. But the old Julian calendar is still observed in a number of these. So sometimes we'll have two Easters. This year, the Easter was 5 weeks apart. And it's fascinating, that variety.
Now, we're looking at, you have a new website, which you just launched.
Yes,
and one of the pictures here is of your library, which looks quite impressive. You have an amazing collection of books, including the first complete Bible printed in Slavic.
Yes, that's right. And that goes back to Pope Pius XI. So Benedict XV founded the Institute. Then in 1922, his successor, Pius XI, gave the Institute to the Jesuits, and the Jesuits have been running that ever since. And Pius XI was a librarian. He was the head of the Ambrosian Library in Milan, and then later on he was the prefect of the Vatican Library. So he agreed with Benedict XV's vision of a place of peace, a place of serious study of the East, and he contributed a number of books to the library from his own personal collection. Then he sent out two of his close associates to go all over the Middle East, Africa. They ended up in Russia, then the Soviet Union, buying up as many books as they could at the time. And they came back with a fantastic collection. And this is what attracts scholars from all over the world. It's one of the best collections, if not the best, in this area. But we have a lot of problems. We're looking for funding. The library doesn't have any air conditioning or heating, and we don't have very good climate control. So if there's anyone who loves books, we'd be happy to hear from them to help us to preserve the collection and then to fix the library. One thing I should mention also about the Institute is a very strong presence of the Middle East. Many of our students come from really from the poorest countries of the world. And we're very marked these days by all that's going on in Syria. One of our students who left the Institute a few years ago has been kidnapped, has disappeared. We haven't heard anything about him. Mm-hmm. But this very much marks our life. Our students come from very poor countries, and many of them come from places of great great violence, sometimes also of dispute within the church. So we work very hard on building church unity. And it's great that we have this variety of students because I think the connections that they're forming at our Institute are going to be very valuable in the future. There's a sense there of mutual respect, a desire for the unity that Christ calls us to within the church. And I think this is an excellent work that we do. But as I say, we can't help but be marked by all that's going on. A number of our alumni. Some of them are bishops who are in great danger these days, and we're watching that situation, as you can imagine, very, very closely.
Yes, I mean, it's a time of great turmoil for Christians in the Middle East, and since you are, as you say, educating the leadership, you're connected in a unique way to those situations.
Yeah, I think it's a great service that that we give there in Rome, and I'm so happy that particularly the non-Catholic students are comfortable, at the Institute and know that they're respected and that we can work together.
You mentioned Syria and your connection to there. I mean, there are other countries that you have connections with that are also undergoing some of the same turmoil.
Yes, very much, particularly Egypt and the Coptic Christians of Egypt, and we have students from that from that community. And another aspect of our institute, we do a lot of work in Christian Arab relations and Christian Islamic relations, because so many of our of the Eastern Christians have coexisted with Arab and or Islamic populations. So this is something that that's very much an aspect. We study that formally. We have, studies of Arabic. We offer the Arabic language, and that's become a very popular course. It's a very difficult language, but students seem to enjoy studying it. But it is an issue for all of us, and everyone's talking about it. Certainly, our students, that the future for the Christian communities I should also mention, we have a number of students from Iraq, and from the Chaldean and Assyrian traditions, and the future of the Christians in these countries is up in the air. Very difficult. It's a very difficult time. So we feel the best we can do is give study of the historical context, again, bring people together in whatever way we can. But it's a difficult, very difficult moment.
Yes, as there's this transformation going on. I mean, is it one of the roles of the Institute perhaps to be a place where the culture can be studied and can flourish at a time where maybe it's under under attack in other
places?
That's
right, and where people can come together. And even in some cases, we have people from who might not talk to each other at home, because they're from these different religious groups. But when they come to our place, this is the occasion to discuss these issues in a quiet and reasonable way. And I think this is so significant for the future of the church particularly, but also for the future of these societies, that you have places where the history is studied seriously, the languages, where people from these countries come and in an atmosphere of mutual respect try to build something new.
Now, you said you were appointed by Benedict XVI. Pope Francis, what's your sense of him and his relationship with the Eastern churches?
Well, it's certainly, for us Jesuits, as you can imagine, we were quite stunned by this appointment. We're still kind of recovering from the shock. But an interesting thing about Pope Francis is that when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he was in charge of Oriental Christians who were not under a bishop. And what that means is there are a number of significant groups in Argentina of immigrants from the Eastern churches, and particularly the Ukrainians are very, very strong in number, and they have their bishop is now the head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. But there were a number of these groups are not under a bishop, and it was Francis's task to pay attention to them. So he does have a familiarity with the Eastern rites, and we're very happy about that. Sensitivity to them, to their liturgy, and again to the whole issue of married clergy.
Yeah, what's that like, having priests who are married? What kind of experience does that bring to?
It's a wonderful thing to see. The part of the problem, though, is that many of them have to leave their spouses and leave their families behind, sure, to come to graduate school. And I keep, since I come from the Latin Rite background, I keep forgetting this. So last year, at the beginning of the school year, we had this very nice evening barbecue. We hadn't even started classes yet. And I saw a number of our students kind of sitting and looking very melancholy. And I said, it's a little bit early in the year. We haven't even started class. What is this? It was a lovely evening. We had a nice meal. And they said, well, our wives and families, we've left them behind. And this is a difficult thing for them. What fascinates me is also the role of the women, of the priest's wives in the, in the community is, very strong. Function and building parish life, and sometimes we'll have the wives of the priests as students, and they make an extraordinary contribution to the to the life of the church.
Well, your new website, I'll give it to folks, is unipio.org,
so yes,
People can learn more about you there. And you are affiliated with some of the other Jesuit universities in Rome, like the Gregorian, for example.
That's right, with the Gregorian and also with the Pontifical Biblical Institute. So those three are the Jesuit institutions in Rome. And we work together in a number of areas.
Now, is this a place that people are in Rome that they can visit and take a look at your facility?
Yes, I think I invite anyone who's in Rome to drop by. As I said, we're very close to the train station there at the Piazza Santa Maria Maggiore. We're right across from one of the four great basilicas of Rome, and I'd be happy to show people around. It's a very interesting place. The library is stunning. You can see pictures of it on the website. And I'd be happy to show. We also have an interesting garden where there was a house of a Roman senator who happened to be a Christian, which is interesting. And we have a few remnants from that house. So it's an interesting place. And as I say, our student body is so diverse that I invite people to come and to drop by and visit and see what we're doing there.
Great. Well, Father James McCann, again, the rector of the Pontifical Oriental Institute, want to thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thanks very much, Tim.